Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. I'm going to do this quickly because I just need to do it quickly, and we need to get going. And this is episode 146. I'm pretty sure this is your last chance episode, your last chance to comment and be entered into a drawing for a $25 gift certificate from the Fat Quarter Shop. So that I will do the drawing on Wednesday. The one thing I wanted to pass along to you, I'm really appreciative of Tanisha over at Crafty Garden Mom. I was just getting caught up with her podcast the other day, and she mentioned a new quilting podcast, which you may be familiar with, but if you're not, it's called Quilting Bits and Pieces. And right now, I think she's got two episodes up. And maybe three, I'm not sure, but in any event, really great new podcast. I highly recommend you listen to it. It's Quilting Bits and Pieces. I just want to put a plug in for that. And then, what else do I want to tell you? I hope I'm not holding this too closely. I felt like the sound last time was really bad. I think I've been holding this way too closely, guys. I'm sorry, and it's possible I forgot, and the sound's going to be bad this time. You're just going to have to let the overriding pleasure of, well, you know, listening to me make up for any deficiency in sound quality. All right, so thank you to everyone who's commented. I have gotten so many great comments. And so many of them, because people are coming to, share their love with me, but also get involved in the drawing, which is perfectly understandable and cool and good. But I want to say thank you, because not only are people coming over to comment to get entered in the drawing, they're just coming to comment and say cool things, and I really appreciate that. I appreciate some of the advice and feedback I've gotten. Zany Mouse says, don't throw away the Lego. It comes in handy later for science science projects, particularly physics assignments. And you know what? Jack is doing physics, so that's good to know. She says, I can get rid of any Duplos I have. So that's good to know. I heard from Adele, who says the skill she's glad she learned early is binding. Which, you know, I feel like I did learn it early, and then I forgot. But I have now, my mother encouraged me to sign up for a class she liked on Craftsy, on finishing. I do not have that name in front of me. I'll try to put it in the show notes, but it's about bindings and, something else. Anyway, finishing your quilt. So that's helpful. And then over at Quilting for the Rest of Us highly recommends the Fonz and Porter binding tool, so I think I will invest in that as well. Many of you seem to have had similar experiences with your significant others stealing the good Tupperware, your good stuff, good scissors. I had a discussion with a friend and we the other day, and we were both talking about how proud we are we'd actually trained everybody in our households to stay away from our good scissors. That's something, those of you, if you're young, if your kids are young, I mean, they should be staying away from the scissors anyway. But when they get a little bit older and can have access to the household scissors, make sure they know they cannot have access to your sewing scissors. A number of you said you liked my brain medallions from the quilt, which I appreciate. Fortunately, the exercise of tearing out all the stitches, not tearing. I did not tear. I was very careful. I didn't mind it. And I think, to be honest, if I had done the brains in white thread, I would have left them. I think for me, it was the green thread. It was just too much. It was too much. I wanted to mention, I heard from Brenda, and she recommends Leah Day's Quilting a Sampler class on Craftsy for figuring out what quilting styles to use. Brenda writes that Leah really dissects the blocks in many ways on how to fill them, and that has helped her a lot with that. So I will definitely check that out. I know I'm not supposed to be buying new Craftsy classes, but you know what? I did. I will. I'm going to continue to do it. There you have it. Anyway, so lots and lots of good comments, but I do want to get on with the podcast because I'm afraid it's getting really long. I'm trying to hold this back again. Okay. Hope that my sound of my voice is soothing and wonderful. I would love to hear your comments. Again, you have until Tuesday till tomorrow to comment, to get entered into the drawing. But I would love to hear your comments even after Tuesday, because it's really fun to hear from you. And I just like hearing from you. You're so nice. It makes me very, if you knew how happy it made me, I think you would do it more often. Just saying. By the way, I have not heard from Kelly the Fifth in a while. So Kelly, if you're listening, I'm a little worried about you. I'm about to track you down and see what's going on. All right. That's it. We're going to head on into the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. I'm taking a little break from decluttering. It's a good project. I'm making progress. I'm a little bit of, I don't know what the right word. Maybe I've just got a little bit of a logjam going on because I have lots of stuff that needs to go to the recycling center. We have recycling bins, but just know we have a recycling bin. But if I fill it up with all my stuff, it'll be filled today, and they only take recycling every 2 weeks. So my plan is to take my recycling directly to the recycling center. And I think I can take my dry trash. I think I can take my wet trash as well, but I don't want to carry wet trash in my car. But I have a lot of dry trash from the attic. You know, here's the thing about decluttering that we have to remember is it's really a spiritual exercise. It's kind of a pilgrimage. You know, if you have a big space like an attic or garage, basement, or even say several closets where you store stuff, used stuff, old stuff, stuff you need to get rid of, stuff you need to find a place for. I mean these areas in our lives, they're kind of like our heads, you know, in which you got to declutter your head from time to time, whether it's just intensively journaling for a few weeks just to get everything out, you know, or like having a standard lunch date with a good friend who you can just talk to. You got to get the stuff out of your head. You got to get the stuff out of your attic. And that's what we're working on. Right now, I've got an attic with lots and lots of empty boxes, and they need to go. And in fact, I have sort of a wall of boxes, and those boxes need to go. And that's another thing. So I'm always holding on to empty boxes because Christmas is coming, right? And you have to have boxes to mail your Christmas presents. But you know, I mail Christmas presents to 3 families. That's it. So really, I just need 3 boxes. And I could just go to Home Depot and buy 3 boxes once a year, and that would cost me roughly $6. That could be better than having a wall of boxes in my attic. And moreover, when you go through boxes that have been sitting in your attic for a long time, you are going to find little tiny roaches in them, dead, dried out, completely, yeah, desiccated little roaches. But and that's what, again, been reading lots of, you know, blogs and books about decluttering, and someone was very insistent, do not store things in cardboard because critters, bugs, roaches like cardboard. Yes, they do. I don't want to suggest I have a huge problem up there. And it's funny because the roaches, they're always little tiny baby ones, which actually could be problematic, you know. Anyway, I'm getting rid of the boxes. This is all to say. Getting rid of the boxes, but not today because it's raining. But I need to break down that wall of boxes to get them out, and also to get to the last bit of childhood debris. So that's there a lot. There's a toy. It's like this bee. It's like a big bee, and you stick sticks into the, I can't really remember this toy. But I can see it because it comes with lots of little tiny plastic bees. So I guess it's like a beehive, and there's plastic bees, and there's sticks for sticking into the beehive. I don't remember really, but it has 5,000 pieces, and it's one that I have kept because I thought, well, if I just get all the pieces together, then I could give it away. Give it to Goodwill. I probably still have the box. I'm good about keeping boxes, as we've already established. And part of me thinks, you know what? If that is stalling, when you get through the wall of boxes and you get to that bee with its thousand little beehive with the thousand little plastic bees, if that is what is holding you back, it needs to go. You can throw it away. I'm giving myself permission to throw things away. You know why? I compost. I recycle like nobody's business. If it's recyclable in any possible way, I recycle it. And I carry canvas bags to do my grocery shopping. Okay, when I pick up my groceries, paper bags, which I recycle or compost. I have earned a small little place in the landfill to call my own. So I may throw away the bees. Maybe I'll call this episode Throwing Away the Bees. Because you know how one thing, you can get stuck on it. This is just like life. I'm telling you, it's all psychology. It's all spiritual. It's all psychological. You can get, there can be one thing. You know, it can be one thing from your past you just can't let go of. It can be a resentment, a feud. It can be, and that's the thing you gotta let go of. That is your beehive. That is your plastic beehive with hundreds of plastic bees inside of it. And sticks, and I can't remember what the little sticks are for at all. And it's okay, you gotta just throw it away. So we may just be throwing away the bees. That's hard for me to do. Hard for me to throw away stuff, but I have been throwing away stuff. I have thrown away some spiral notebooks instead of spending 5 minutes ripping out the spiral. Don't anyone comment and say, "Oh, you know, there's a really easy way to get that spiral." I don't want to hear it. Those notebooks are gone. Gone. They were just notebooks like, you know, you take to church for the boys to scribble in. And they weren't good scribblings. They weren't, "Oh, we'll save these scribblings." No, those are gone. Threw them away. Have thrown away all kinds of stuff. I still can't bring myself to throw away pennies. But yeah, so got a lot of stuff to go into my little square of the landfill that's been waiting for me. Waiting for me. So yeah, so I'm taking a break. One of the things I'm trying to do today too is to clear my sewing area. First of all, we've got the treadmill desk coming on Monday. Watch out, Fitbitters. Who just befriended me recently? Laura, who was it? I've gotten a couple friend requests from people who listen to this podcast. So they're kind of mocking me. Like, I'm gonna friend you. Although they've been actually the people who've recently friended me are like, "Really, I don't walk that much. It's okay. I've heard your podcast. I understand your concerns. Really, don't worry about me at all." Although, you know, has a little bit, you know, pool sharkish sensibility to it. "Yeah, don't worry about me. I hardly, you know, maybe one little walk a day, 8, 9 miles. Don't worry about me, but that's okay. Because, ladies, the treadmill desk is coming. Terry, those are my footsteps you hear behind you. Clip clop, clip clop, clip." Okay, I'm getting very silly. Anyway, so I mean, and I think it's going to go in the sewing area. And I can't decide whether to make it face the garden, which is a nice view, except that right now it's kind of messy, or face my window that I'm sitting by that opens up to the front yard, which is actually really probably my favorite view from the house because it's very tree-y and green. But anyway, I have enough room over there. That's where that's gonna go. I think I'm gonna have to move my sewing mannequin, which I love, but you know, I don't actually make clothes, so I don't actually need it in my sewing area. It may go to another part of the house. And I think that's where my tread, but anyway, so I want that clean. I also would like to do some sewing. Oh, here, because this is a quilting podcast, we could talk about quilts for a second. Sure, why not? I have finally unquilted the Nova quilt. I got an email from one of my friends who listens to the podcast last night, and she's like, "I'm listening to your podcast, and you're talking about unquilting, and I'm just yelling at you, don't do it, let it go, let it go." But, you know, and I have let it go. Like, okay, I made a quilt for Will a few years ago, which is a really lovely quilt. But some of the quilting's really stupid. And I look at it almost every day and think, I could just pick that out. You know, it wouldn't be hard. I could requilt it. And that, I'm like, just let it go. Just let it go. But the Nova quilt, I couldn't. And you know, the weird thing, I enjoyed taking out the stitches. It's kind of fun. It's like doing a puzzle. I finished up last night while we finished up the last season of The Wire. Ooh, Modern Family starts tonight. New season. That's another one of our favorite shows. Anyway, so I enjoyed that process, and now I'm going to see how much of the impression that those stitches left, how much I can remove. Daisy suggested steaming and washing, so I will do those things. And then I have to look at and go, am I going to quilt in those areas. If I am, then the top thread is going to be light. The bottom thread will be the same as the rest of the quilting, obviously. But yeah, I had actually thought, and Kristen, you'll be relieved to hear this, I had thought about unquilting a couple of the darker blocks, but that I decided I would let go. That's okay. So anyway, so I do have a decision to make, but, and I will probably make that later today. And who knows, maybe I'll just quilt one area and see how that turns out. Anyway, so I do want my space back. It's just been, I've had a lot of boxes. My process has been to bring boxes from the attic down here so I can, you know, watch Friday Night Lights or whatever as I go through stuff and make piles and throw stuff away. But I'm a little tired of that area being cluttered up, and I'm getting to a good spot. And I do think, anyway, that's neither here nor there, other than I want to reclaim my space. So there's just going to be a few boxes there, and that's for the free cycle stuff. And I was going to put out a free cycle notice today, but people reply so quickly, and they're like, I'll pick it up right away. And my house is set back on a hill a bit, which is nice. And when I free cycle stuff, I leave it but down at the bottom of the driveway, which I think saves. So it's easier for people. People just want to come pick stuff up. They don't want to have a conversation with you. So it's easier for people to come get it. And then it's also feels less like I'm inviting you up to my house. I don't have free cycle fears. I think, you know, it's funny. The man just read an article about some town where for Craigslist, the police actually have a place in their parking lot where to set up Craigslist exchanges. So a safe place to do that. Because I guess people were getting robbed so much. Anyway. So, but free cycle is just total different vibe. And I'm almost always dealing with women. So I'm not really frightened, but nonetheless, I'd rather you pick the stuff up at the end of the driveway, unless it's you listening to me right now, because we're friends and you could come up and we could have a cup of coffee. Anyway, so I do have some boxes ready for free cycling. And if it clears up tomorrow, then I will do that. But I have a couple boxes of books in the mudroom. I have donated so many books to our fine school's used book sale. And you know what's going to happen is Jack and Will go in the spring and they'll buy them all back. So Jack has developed a very annoying tendency to go to used bookstores. Like when we go visit my parents, my dad takes us to a really nice place. I think it's called Half Price Books. And, you know, Jack will always gets the most books. He loves to read. And then I'll be going through, I'm like, Brave New World, we've got that. Yeah, Dad, we've got, and you're just like, all right. So now we've got two. Anyway. But I've given away a ton of books. So I've got some books in the mudroom that I'm going to take over to our fine school this afternoon when I pick up Jack from debate. And drop those off. And I think I'm going to be fairly close to through with books donations. And then I can start mourning all the books that I've given away and that I wish that I kept. Whenever I give away lots of books, we did a huge book giveaway when we moved from Raleigh to Durham back in 2002. Huge, huge, huge. Is that when we moved? I guess it must have been. But anyway, And we gave away it's just two English majors, one of whom had worked for many years in publishing. We had a lot of books. And I still miss, there's books, you tell yourself, well, you can just get it out of the library. It's not the same. All right, so what are we talking about? So I will be re-quilting. I will be reestablishing the quilt by ironing and washing, or steaming and washing, then re-quilting, and then I'll be ready to go. That's a little scary. I have such a strong desire to do my hexagon square, my hexagon block for the quilt, my sampler quilt. Who knows? Maybe I'll work on that today. And to finish the mosaic quilt, which is, I'm so close to it, to finishing the quilt top. I have to tell you something. So, Couple of things. First of all, the man got a new couch for his study, and the quilt, and it's the sage green, and I looked at it and I thought of the quilt that the quilters made me, and it's like the perfect match. So I temporarily let him have that because it looks so beautiful on this quilt. You guys would not believe, I mean, on the couch, you guys would not believe it. If I could take a photograph, I would photograph it for you and you would see, but my photographs don't really turn out all that well. Yes, and so I've just thrown an old quilt on the bed where I had the Twilters quilt. This is actually Simply Amy, Simply Frances. For longtime listeners, you'll remember that one. And it's fine. I like that quilt. It's a little worse for the wear, but it looks fine. And then this weekend we put up new curtains. I've lived in this house for 7 years, which is why we have so much stuff and are in such dire need of decluttering because we haven't had moves. You know, it's like you gotta move every few years and then you get rid of stuff. We haven't been moving, the stuff collects. We also, just because, you know, all our, yes, we, private school is expensive and we've made that just our priority, educating these children, because Lord knows they need all the education they can get. But you end up kind of not, and I don't know, I have other friends like this too, where when you have some money to do something, it's not on your bedroom because nobody comes into our bedroom, right? Guests don't come over and like, oh, let's go to the bedroom. Well, unless it's my mom and she wants to see a quilt. But otherwise, people don't come. So you kind of let it go. And it took us forever to buy furniture. I mean, we had furniture, but it was like old cruddy furniture. The worst furniture in the house was in our room. We finally went to IKEA, got new furniture a few years ago. That was very nice. I can't remember. It was probably about the same time where the man finally painted the horrible, like, tan business office tan walls to the lovely periwinkle. And then finally, I ordered curtains, new curtains. We had the same curtains, which I think when they were put up 20 years ago were very nice. And they matched the tan business office walls perfectly. They're just cream. But they're light blocking. And they were actually the real thing that we were talking. I know I've talked about this because Noni told me what they're called. But, you know, where they're actually on a bracket and you, you know, pull up the string. Can you see me pulling up and down the strings? Yes, to open and close. So a very nice, expensive setup. But you know, after 20, 25, 30 years, curtains, they get a little dingy. Some of the backing, you know, because they were light blocking, they had this backing had kind of peeled off. So the light would come, it was kind of pretty, kind of get a little shade, and lacy light coming in. And you know, every morning I wake up and go, why? Why haven't we done? But you know, anything that has multiple steps, you know, because it's like, well, it's not just getting new curtains, it's taking down the apparatus for the old curtains and touching up the paint and then putting up new apparatus, you know, new curtain rod, and then putting up curtains. So there's so many steps. We're just not good with steps here. We need simple, easy, one step things we can do. Two step things are a possibility, but something that complicated, yeah, it took us 7 years to do. We finally did it, and the great thing is that we didn't even have to repaint. Partly because the new curtains cover up. The man left some one of the two, but anyway, we didn't have to repaint. I'm just not going to go into why not. But so I got new curtains. Maybe I'll put a picture up of my new curtains because they're fabulous. The one thing, if you want light blocking curtains, it's hard to find fabulous light blocking curtains. You can find very respectable light blocking curtains. Well, for some reason, I ordered some from West Elm, which has really neat stuff and has good sales. My friend Sarah, my young friend, one of my young friends, recommended it as an online site to look at. And I liked it. And I bought some curtains and they were ivory. And I think of ivory for some reason as being white. Ebony and ivory. Yeah, exactly. They're not. You know what? They're cream. Ivory means cream. And cream is creamy and not white. And so these curtains came in a lot. They were kind of nice curtains. They were very nice, actually. But they were just like my old curtains, except new and they were not white, so I sent them back. And then I found some gray curtains, dark gray with a Moroccan white pattern on them, and they are very stylish and they look great because they're a dark gray. They really block the light. It's really nice. They contrast very nicely with my periwinkle walls. The only problem is they're so modern and fabulous that it makes the rest of the room absolutely shabby. I'm like, oh, I had to like, as soon as the man put them up, I like, had to go do a thorough cleaning of the room and declutter it and do that, and all that just because the rest of the room could not live up to the curtains. Well, I finally figured it out, like Lee's house, to make the room so, that, so you didn't walk in and go, wow, what is wrong with this room? The curtains are fabulous, the rest of it, eh. I worked it out, so at least it's in a good, nice holding pattern for right now. But I think I'm gonna need to make a new quilt for the bed. And in fact, I'm like, well, what about the mosaic quilt? That was for my bed. And you know what? I don't think that's gonna work. I think, which on the one hand is great because I can make it a smaller quilt. And it's gonna be a fabulous quilt. And there will, in fact, it could use it for Will, could use it downstairs. There's a million uses for the mosaic quilt. So I'm not, it's not like, wow, that was a wasted quilt. Really glad I, people were sending me fabric and stuff. It's not that at all. But it, oh, I could still make it big because, we'll get new curtains in 7 or 10 years. So who knows? But these curtains require a new quilt and it needs to be modern. And it may be white with some, I imagine just some lines. I mean, so mostly white with really fabulous quilting. And then maybe some lines of orange and lines of gray. I can see it. And if I can, and I've got waiting for me on hold at the library is a couple of modern quilting books. But I think it's going to be very cool. And I think it should be pretty easy because it's just going to be a lot of white. And it'll be a fun quilting experience because the modern quilting I think is easier than the other more traditional machine quilting. So yes, but now that I have new curtains, I'm like, oh man, we're gonna need to get a headboard for the bed, and we're gonna need, I already got ordered, it should be here Friday, an area rug. It's a really pretty orange herringbone that I think is gonna be nice. So suddenly we have an orange and gray and white room. And it's all just something really suitable for people like who are 30 and have no kids. I can't believe I don't. We're very. God, I'm just going on and on, but that's okay. We're very cozy, kind of homemade people. Obviously, we've got quilts all over the house, and pottery made by friends, and art made by friends and family, and we're cozy. And comfy, and that's what people say when they come into the house. They're like, oh, it's so cozy, it's so comfortable. It's just, it's a good napping house. I have to say it. So anyway, to have this room suddenly that is like modern and stylish, it's freaking me out, but I like it. I'm like, oh, modern and stylish. Now I'm not going to redo my house to be modern and stylish because we're not modern and stylish people whatsoever. Although I do have very stylish hair. No, but we're not. But it's, yeah, so it's a whole thing. So I need a modern and stylish quilt for the bed. And yeah, and a headboard apparently. So yes, and a rug, and that's coming. Yeah, so I got a lot of things coming. I've got my rug coming, and then my treadmill desk is coming. I hope you've been able to hear me. I've been holding this a little further away because I felt like last week we sounded kind of tinny. I really am going on quite a bit, so maybe I don't know. Well, I don't know if I'm ended here because I might want to talk about the requilting. And it's just Wednesday. I was a Thursday girl last week, which was exciting, but I just don't think we should expect that of me. Let me see if I have any other news to tell you. I don't have any other quilty news. Personal news, I have a new book. I think it's out. I did this whole big posting. I'm trying to be good as an author to post stuff and blow my own horn. I don't like doing it, but I'm trying. And my book, it's called Anybody Shining. It was supposed to come out in August, and then my editor did not like how the cover turned out. She thought it turned out too dark. So she sent it back and said, we need new covers. And so she told me, all right, so the new pup date is September 23rd, which was yesterday. So I posted it on Facebook. I posted it. I tweeted it. Some of you saw that. And then a friend of mine, I think it was, who was it? Anyway, may have been someone who listens to this podcast who was in Germany, said, oh, Amazon says I can't get it until October 9th or October 7th. Maybe it's because I live in Germany. And I checked Amazon. They said, yep, this book will be released on October 7th. I'm like, what? So I'm thinking, did the pub date get pushed back again? And just Caitlin forgot to tell me, which is possible. And not a huge deal to me personally, other than I just went on Facebook and Twitter and made a big fuss about it. And all these wonderful people who have nothing to do with children's publishing or just friends. You guys, friends from high school and middle school and grad school, you're all like, oh, this is so great. This is so wonderful. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, is it really not out yet? So it makes me feel like, oh, was my face red? But there's nothing I can do about it. And to be honest, all the support just, it warms my heart. But I also know that doesn't mean, A, the people are going to run out and immediately try to buy the book. And B, if people go to Amazon and see, not released until October 7th. They're just going to think it's Amazon being cruddy. So, anyway, but that is big news that I may or may not have a book out. I don't know. Check. I went to Barnes and Noble yesterday and I just couldn't bring myself to check. I just couldn't. So there's that. And other than that, we've got fall ball, which, I'm just. I think it's great that Will loves sports and I love baseball. But I could do one game a month. I think that's the right amount. But anyway, all I say is we don't do soccer, and for that I am grateful. And I think, that's it. Jack is really cranky. My nice Jack of the summer is gone yet again. He'll return at Christmas. And I think that's it for now. Yeah, so anyway, I may be back. I will be back one way or another. I'll be back to say goodbye, if nothing else. But I hope I will be back to tell you that the unquilting and requilting, all success, we shall see more soon. Quilt Diary, day 3 or 4. I don't remember now. I have no idea. I guess I could look at what file. This must be 3 because this is file 3. So anyway, Monday, September 29th, and that means tomorrow is the deadline for the giveaway from the Fat Quarter Shop $25 gift certificate. I'm gonna actually try to get this up this afternoon, just so you have a couple days. I mean, this would be the third or fourth podcast in which I've told you, come leave a comment, and I'll sign you up for this giveaway. So we should know by now. But it's I've been loving the comments, and especially I hate saying that, so especially hearing from people I haven't heard from before. And I feel that sort of is not fair to those of you who have been loyal commenters for a long time. I love all of you equally. You're like my children. I love all of you the same, but for different reasons. Okay. Here's where I am. Okay, have dequilted, have decided on a new quilting pattern, but have not actually sat down to quilt. I thought I would this weekend, but I did not. Saturday was a beautiful day, and I did stuff in the morning. I can't remember what. I did some house cleaning, I did some this and some batting. And then because it was a really lovely day, and one of the things I have on my to-do list for this fall was to go to Stagville Plantation, which is about 20 minutes north of where I live. Now, I've lived in Durham for 20 years. No, I'm sorry, for 12 years. And I've never been, and it's something I've like always meant to do. It's like people who live in Paris and never been to the top of the Eiffel Tower, people who live outside DC and not been to the Smithsonian. Here, there are a number of historical sites around here that I've not visited, but the Stagville Plantation was one that I've wanted to go to for a long time. And I thought it's a beautiful day. I'm going to go. So I did. They have tours on the hour. And so I went out for the 3 o'clock tour. And it was very interesting. So Stagville was actually the largest plantation in North Carolina. It was 30,000 acres. There were 900 slaves who worked there. And now the state owns a parcel of it. A lot of the land was sold off after the Civil War, kind of after it, the family, the descendants of the slave owners kind of petered out. And so then the land went to sort of more distant relatives who were not particularly interested in farming it. So they rented out the land to sharecroppers, and eventually, there's a huge farm right down the road, and they bought a lot of the acreage. But the state of North Carolina owns a parcel, owns the land in which the big house is on, and then owns a land a little bit just up the road called Horton Grove, and that's where some there's still some slave cabins still standing. There's actually, and this is, I don't know why this intrigues me and kind of seems crazy to me, there's a huge farm, privately owned farm, hasn't not is not owned by the state, but and this is former Stagville land, and apparently they have slave cabins and other buildings on their land that they maintain and preserve, but are not open to the public, not even open to like the people who work at Stagville. No invitation, they're like, nope, and it's gated because I guess people have tried to get onto their land just to see these buildings. They're like, So, anyway, but so I went to Stagville and I had a really good tour guide named Jeremiah, who I got to be friends with. And first we toured the big house, which was built in the late maybe late 1700s, early 1800s, so sort of built during revolutionary times. And it's not, it's not one of these gorgeous plantation houses. It's a nice house, and I'm sure it was very nice when they lived there. And it's, it's interesting. It's very interesting to me that Stagville, there's not a lot of, when you go down into the deeper South, particularly like a place like Charleston, they're very plantation happy in a way that I feel like this just means they are mired in denial about what plantations were, which they were big, big farms where some people owned other human beings, some human beings owned other human beings and made those human beings work very, very hard and tortured them and terrorized them in order to keep them in line. But that doesn't come out in the tourism brochures at all. So you're like in Charleston, it's like, oh, come to Boone Farm Plantation and see, oh, the beautiful, gracious way we live in the South. And you're just like, man, what is wrong with you people? I mean, there should be like, come view our shame. That is what Charleston was built on the backs of enslaved human beings. Come share our shame with us. Let us confess to you how horrible it is that this is true about our city. But no, it's not that at all. Anyway, I'll go off that. That's a little bit tangential, isn't it? Yes. So, but Stagville is none of that. Which is on the one hand, I think admirable. We're not trying to make money off of a really bloody, horrible history. So the big house, again, not it was not a gracious plantation. It was a nice house for these people had money and they added to it. And I'm sure one of the interesting things that I know this is becoming this whole thing about Stagville Plantation, and I'm supposed to be talking about quilting. Anyway, I'm just going to talk. You go on about your business. Go clean the bathroom and come back later. Yes. Anyway, Oh, so after the plantation was sold out from the family because the family died off, then it was rented to overseers of sharecroppers, and these were overseers who I think just managed the property and managed the land. So it's been through a lot. But it was fine. It was interesting. There's nothing because the family died out. There's no, it means when they all died off, all the stuff was sold. So there's no wonderful furniture or doodads or the stuff that I love, which is the material culture, which is the buttons and the forks and the knives and the combs, and the quilts. Although, as I'm sure from historical sites that you've toured, the quilts from 18 whatever, they don't hold up. Fabric goes the way of all things, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, etc. But what was very interesting to me is when we went to the slave cabins over in Horton Grove,
They're interesting because they were two stories. They're actually almost like apartment houses, like big four big rooms with fireplaces. And I mean, it could be, in a family, there was one family per room, which, could have meant 12 people per room and could have meant 40 people in these houses. But the slaves built the slave cabins, and you can actually see handprints and thumbprints because when they the way the method they used to make bricks, the bricks were still somewhat soft when they put them up, and so that was kind of wild. You see like this big thumbprint, in the brick. That was very cool and very interesting. But anyway, as we're going around, and there wasn't, there was like inside one of the slaves, you could only go inside one. And there's some farm equipment around, sort of, looking like a little what someone would put on their front porch nowadays who've never farmed. Look, here's a hoe, here's a whatever. And I asked if they were original to the site, and the tour guide Jeremiah said no, they were just, the kind of farming implements these people would have used. And then I asked, well, has there ever been an archaeological dig out here? Expecting to say, well, yes, the first dig was in 1962, and da 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 da. And he said, there has never been a dig out here. And there's only been one archaeological dig over at the main house. And I was like, why in the world not? And he's like, there's just not been the money for it. And I don't, so, and I'm just like, shocked. And a friend of mine from the Folklife Institute, where I volunteer, used to work at Stagville. And what he told me was you could walk around that area and find buttons and find all kinds of cool stuff. And I didn't realize, and he was talking about that it's not a very well-maintained site and what have you. And what I didn't realize is because there's never been an archaeological dig, so that stuff's not been collected. Yeah, and Jeremiah was saying, yeah, over there, that's a trash heap. That's where they threw their trash away. There's got to be tons of stuff in there. And I was just like, man. So I said, well, he said he thought things might change because they had a newly acquired board member who's an archaeologist over at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And she was going to start looking into what could be done. So I said, well, what's her name? And he gave me her name. And so I just emailed her about 20 minutes ago and said, what can civilian, non-archaeological type people do to help make a dig happen? Because I would love to see this stuff and know more about the history here. As someone, I'm interested in the history of Durham. This has become sort of my adopted hometown, and that there's the biggest plantation in North Carolina has not, there's not been an archaeological dig. You're just like, that's just crazy. So I didn't say that in my email, but I just said, I think that people might be interested to know what's there and to know more about the people. There are a lot of descendants, and there were 900 slaves. There are a lot of descendants of these slaves in Durham, and there's descendants of the slave owners as well. So I'm fascinated that there's not been more research done. So anyway, I'll keep you up to date on that. But that's what I did Saturday. So Saturday afternoon was shot, and then Sunday I ended up napping. I just was kind of tired. I went to Sunday school, went to church, came home, and had lunch, and then I just went to read on the porch and kind of fell asleep, and I just was sort of sleepy all day. A good kind of sleepy, not I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted, but just kind of a nice kind of nappy sort of thing. And I talked to my mom. She went on a quilt retreat with her guild, I guess not last week. I thought it was last week, but I guess it was the week before last. And she said it was great, and they had a whole lot of fun, and got a lot of sewing done, so that was good. And she wants me to come up at some point and go to this retreat, which I would love to do. It's just hard because they retreat in the middle of the week, and that's a little bit hard to do right now, just with the boys demanding so much, food and rides and stuff like that. Anyway, so that's where I am. So I just have not had the time to. I hope that starting tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon, I will be able to get back on the quilting. I think I should have the quilting done in, in an hour or so. I don't plan on doing anything spectacular or difficult. So, let's see. What else do I want to? Oh, my treadmill desk is here. It got delivered this morning. It's going to take the man's help to get it set up. Treadmills actually are very big. I don't know if you knew that, but they're big, and this one's big, and it's heavy. And then there's a desk, and the desk has all kinds of wiring
And yeah, so it's complicated. And so I guess I had this dream that, they would deliver it and I would set it up in, 20 minutes or so. But like, I don't think so. So anyway, but I'm excited. So I know I think I've already said threatening things to Terry and all of the rest of you who are way ahead of me. I'm like down to like 12 in the rankings, in the Fitbit rankings. Terry always number one. Not that I resent you for it, Terry. I love you. You know I do. Yes, but that's all about to change. Not the love, but the rankings. So watch out, as I keep saying. All right. So I think I'm gonna try to get this posted, and I don't know that I have any pictures. Maybe I have a picture of Travis or something that I can show you. But no fun pictures. But do comment. You have a couple of days left today and tomorrow. And then on Wednesday I will do the drawing for the big prize. So I hope you're having a good week. I hope you get a lot of work done. Christmas is coming. I'm not making any Christmas presents. So I'm not worried about that, but you might be, and you might be worried about that. So, quilt hard is what I'm saying, baby. All right, and as Katie has taught me to say, life is short. Quilt first. Bye.